a homecoming of sorts for the NFL on Fox's very own Moose, Daryl Johnston, Lewiston Porter product. Welcome home, Moose. We don't see you a lot here, but when you come in, it always feels kind of special when your crew is in here.
Yeah, it is fun. It's good to get back. And we don't get back here as often as I would like. It's great to come back and see family. But it's been a nice run here. We've gotten back a couple times the last few years.
First things first, can you do us a favor and put up the ring? So we can zone in on the ring here. You know, we're not used to this here in Buffalo.
This is Pittsburgh. This is not either one of the Buffalo Super Bowls.
All right.
I don't do that. So that's Super Bowl 30. That's Pittsburgh.
So you're not rubbing it in anybody's
Absolutely
face.
Not. Absolutely not. And I tell everybody when I come back, I said, listen, I was cheering for the Bills against the Giants and against the Redskins, which I normally don't do. I was always an NFC East guy. But I know how special it would be for the Bills fans in this community to have had a Super Bowl during that run. So I was pulling for them as much as everybody back here in Buffalo.
You were in position to help the Bills a couple of times.
And yeah, the other two, I had some other agendas.
Yes, you did, and did it quite well, as a matter of fact. It's been a while since you played. I just wonder, as you reflect back on your NFL career, I want to talk about college in a second, but the Super Bowl is obviously the highlights, and you played in a unique spot, a fullback position, yeah. Which sort of falls in and out of fashion in the NFL these days, doesn't it?
It really does. We've had several teams that don't even have the fullback on the roster spot, so it's been challenging from that regard. But I think what you have here, you know, you see Patrick DeMarco come in. I think it adds an element to. We had San Francisco last weekend against Washington, and one of the first moves that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch made was to go out and get a fullback. They got Kyle Juszczyk. Yeah. So I think from time to time, it does kind of swing back into favor. It was really, there were some dark days between 07 and 12 where a lot of teams had really found that three wide, two tight end set to be more productive. We're starting to see it come back a little bit. And I think a lot of that has to do with the really unique athlete that's inside, yeah. That defensive tackle that can beat a lineman real quick. To have that extra guy in the backfield just to kind of clean that up and allow the running back to get back to the line of scrimmage without having to make him a move in the backfield is important.
Now, what about the H-back type of position? Instead of a true fullback, do you see teams now doing a lot more H-back, where it's a tight end slash fullback?
Yeah, I see the H-back that's a tight end that you're trying to bring into the backfield. I've mm-hmm. seen converted outside linebackers. I've even seen converted defensive tackles, you know, that were undersized try to come into that position. And it's hard. It's a mentality. You've got a skill set to play the fullback position, but it's more of a mentality position. So I used to struggle when I would go up to the line of scrimmage, even if I was on the backside on the line of scrimmage. Because the blocking on the line of scrimmage is more technically driven, so it's hand placement and who gets their hands inside first. Right. Where fullback, when you're coming out of the backfield, it's going to be a collision.
Boom.
So it's just, you know, you have to have that mentality. So I struggled, you know, when I played on the line from time to time.
Youngstown's own Daryl Johnston in studio with us here with the NFL on Fox crew, Chris Myers and Daryl and Laura Oakman will have the call of the game on TV, the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do you think of Patrick DeMarco as a player, and how important is he to whatever success the Bills might have in their rushing game?
Well, I think he was very good in Atlanta. Yeah. I became a fan of his in Atlanta. I think he brings a unique skill set to the fullback position. I think when you have a guy that can be in the backfield and be a lead blocker for LeSean McCoy, be involved in the running game in that aspect, but then also to be able to leave formation and create a matchup situation on the outside, that is the type of player that we're looking for to bring the fullback position back into favor in the NFL. The problem is we don't have that pipeline from high school to college. The fullback doesn't mm-hmm. exist down at those levels,
right.
So it's hard for him to exist at this level, and then we get into the H-back and the converted defensive player trying to fit that role.
Tell me about LeSean McCoy, and, you know, we're going into game six. He hasn't hit the end zone yet.
Yeah.
I went on the air a minute ago and told Donald I almost bet him $5 he was going to get the end zone twice.
Did. I think we ended up.
I think we did bet.
Got it to two?
not on money, though. We ended on a beer, maybe.
Maybe. But, I mean, he's waiting to break out. I know he's frustrated. He's handled it pretty well. I have a feeling this will be the game for him. This will be the game for him and the entire Bills running game.
We really sensed a lot of confidence from not only LeSean, but from Eric Wood, from Tyrod Taylor. It seems as though they had a really productive meeting during the course of the bye week. The people that were involved in the running game, really had a productive meeting. And that's a credit to Sean McDermott for allowing that kind of dialogue to happen, to create that kind of atmosphere in the locker room where there is an open door policy. Some people say that, but it doesn't really exist. And we talked to the guys who were involved in the running game. You know, they said that not only did they listen to us and what we were trying to express, but we also learned from them. So I think you're going to find that you get a nice little blend of what they want to do. And it'll be interesting to see if they get that production, because you sense that LeSean was very confident this week, just from some of the quotes in the newspaper, about what the potential of this offense was going to be coming off that bye. So, you know, when you have a bye early in the season, sometimes it's hard to have that body of work that allows you to do a little bit of a self-scout and find out where you can get better, what areas you're doing well in, but, you know, where do we need to work at it? And I think that that Sean McDermott and his staff were very good during the course of the bye week. Sounds like they found out some really good information on the team.
They over the last couple of games, they sprinkled in elements of a more power rushing attack as opposed to kind of the wide zone blocking scheme they were trying to use. And I have a feeling this is what you're talking about, right? They're going to kind of incorporate maybe a little bit more of that moving forward. And
yeah,
after the dialogue they've had.
Well, I think everybody wants – you have to play to the strength of your players.
Right.
So, you know, that's the number one thing. We had Washington last week. And what I've always liked about Washington is what Bill Callahan does, the offensive line coach down there who kind of builds that running game, and he was in Dallas for a while. They do all of it. You know, you've got the inside zone, the outside zone. You've got man schemes, power schemes, down blocks, guys around. So you see the counter. You see the counter tray. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of things. And for defenses, that really – those are two different styles. So now you don't know what's coming, so you've got to play it so differently, where if it's a zone, you're kind of moving down that line and trying to keep your gaps clean. The man scheme, the offense is trying to punch a hole in your front, so you have to attack that in a different style. So I like what Washington does. I'd like to see more teams around the NFL incorporate what Bill Callahan has done, and it sounds like Buffalo is kind of moving down that path.
Daryl Moose Johnson in studio with us, three-time Super Bowl champion, 11 years in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, Western New York native. The word came out an hour or two ago that Jameis Winston is good to go. Probably not shocking, but how effective could he be with a limited practice week and, you know, just the AC injury just a couple of days ago, a week ago?
Well, everything that came out of Tampa this week is it's not anything where he can do more damage. So, number one, it's the health of the player moving forward. So, head coach Dirk Cutter was real emphatic about the fact that Jameis can't hurt the shoulder anymore. Now, if he falls on top of it again, you know, obviously the size of these guys, we saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers. Anything can happen during the course of the game. But just, I think from just playing the game, he doesn't put himself at risk for re-injuring that shoulder. But similar to what's happened to LeSean McCoy, not having scored a touchdown through five games for the first time in his career, Jameis Winston has never missed a game in his career at any level. So you're going to have that desire to be on the field. So the biggest thing going after one, can he play? Is he going to be healthy? Can this do anything long term? Okay, that's fine. Okay, now what's the velocity on the ball? Can he make the throws?
Right.
You don't want somebody out there who's not going to be able to contribute to the game plan. So I had heard that supposedly he threw a football at the group of reporters as they came on the field,
yeah,
just to show they had the zip on the football. So they're in a very good position. If something does happen to Jameis and he can't go, I mean, everybody here in Buffalo is very familiar with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
There's not many teams in the NFL that can, you know, can sport a 1-2 quarterback combination,
right,
like Tampa Bay can right now. So if something was to happen, you always have to be wary of Ryan Fitzpatrick coming off the bench.
Now, I think we're coming into this transition period of quarterbacks in the league where you have the top guys, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, all of these guys in their last couple of years mm-hmm. playing in the NFL, and you have a young crop of quarterbacks like Carr, Winston, Andrew Luck, these guys, Mariota, who are now coming up. Where do you see Jameis Winston amongst that young group? Has he grown into being, well, this guy can be an elite quarterback?
Statistically, he's going to have the opportunity to do some very unique things because he started from day one. Mm-hmm. And it's been a downfield throwing game in Tampa Bay. So you're talking about numbers, you know, in the marina, you know, area where you're talking about the start of a career. So obviously you're going to be off to a great start. You've seen him start to grow and mature a little bit. Kind of hold down those emotions. I think when he came into the league that rookie year, he was a very emotional player, mm-hmm. and he could be a little bit up and down. And I think that, you know, Dirk Cutter working with him and the other offensive coaches have got him to kind of focus that emotion, that passion for the game in a more positive way, so it has positive impacts. I think you've seen respect for the possession. I think that's a huge thing
yeah.
for the younger guys. They still have that bravado that they can make every throw, and the guys at this level are really, really good at baiting you, you know, showing you things that aren't really exactly what you're seeing. And allowing you to throw into areas where they can take the ball away. That's one of the areas. I think he had 15 interceptions his first year. He had 18 interceptions his second year. He's off to a much better start this year, you know, making sure he takes care of the football. That's the number one thing, you know, for a young quarterback coming into the league. So when you talk about this whole group of the guys that you mentioned, I think I'm going to throw in Dak Prescott into that well. You know, kind of this transition into the next generation of quarterbacks that'll be in the league. Carson Wentz out of Philadelphia. You know, it's going to be fun to watch him. But they all need help around him. And, you know, some of the guys that we're saying goodbye to, I don't know if they did. I mean, Tom Brady seems like he can put anybody around him,
right,
and he finds a way to win. Drew Brees, New Orleans has never struggled as an offense. They've struggled right. defensively, but mm-hmm. anybody you put around Drew Brees, you know, he can do some pretty special things. So we're getting ready to lose some really elite quarterbacks when you talk about the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of pressure. Yeah. On this next generation for some of those guys to come through and replace those great quarterbacks that we're going to lose.
Darryl, you and your Fox crew, you've had 6 weeks now broadcasting NFL games. Who's the best team in the league you've seen so far?
We had Philadelphia, and,
really?
And Philadelphia was impressive. We had them against Arizona. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. And you talk about getting off to a quick start, and you talk about doing certain things when you have our production meetings on Fridays and Saturdays. They definitely did exactly what they had planned to do. We'd had Arizona. That was the third time we'd had Arizona, all on the East Coast. You know, they were in Detroit, in India, now in Philadelphia. They've struggled with that East Coast trip the last couple of seasons. So you don't know exactly where Philadelphia sits, but I was really impressed because they look like a complete team. They have a very good offensive line. They can run the ball very effectively. You know, their passing game is growing. You know, it's kind of similar to what Buffalo has here. You have Nelson Aguilar and you have Alshon Jeffrey, but they're new and they're, you know, kind of trying to hit their strides. Maybe some more name recognition than you have here with the group in Buffalo. But there's several teams that are kind of going through this wide receiver growth with younger quarterbacks. But I was very impressed with Carson Wentz. And then I think where Philly kind of gets the edge over some of the other teams we've seen is being a complete team. They have excellent special teams, and their defense played really, really well against Arizona. So, you know, we kind of walked away from that game saying, wow, this is one of the benchmark teams we've seen.
Darryl Johnson, our guest. Before we let you go, you were obviously an All-American at Syracuse and all Big East several years at SU. Many of us here obviously follow Syracuse, and some of us are alums. And all of us, I think, were deeply saddened this past summer when Coach Mack passed away, Dick McPherson,
yeah.
who I know was really instrumental in getting you to Syracuse and kind of nurturing your career along.
He really was, and a lot of guys here in the Western New York area that were instrumental in me even getting that opportunity down there. Fred McAmer was yeah. tremendous in continuing to put my name down there. Dick Byers, Ilio DiPaolo were very, very important in getting me recognition and getting my name in front of the staff down at Syracuse. And, you know, as time has passed, I've found out how I ended up being there, and I was literally the last scholarship offered that year. And there was somebody who had verbally committed to Syracuse who changed his mind late in the game. And because of the efforts of Fred McAmer and Ilio DiPaolo and Dick Byers, my name was fresh there. So they basically decided, let's go after a Western New York kid. Let's get a hometown kid and get him down here and get the western part of the state excited about what we're doing here at Syracuse University. So number one, just very grateful to those guys who were instrumental in giving me the opportunity. And then Dick McPherson, and I said this on a tweet when he passed away, he believed in me before I believed in myself. And it was hard. You get down there and you come from a small, you know, suburban area.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I know
I mean,
Youngstown.
Yeah, yeah. And, not, you know, not a football mecca by yeah. any means. I got down to Syracuse University, and I felt a little overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through Dick McPherson. And then a couple of years later, a coach named Jim Hoffer,
yeah.
Who was here with the University of Buffalo, it was probably the most important person to cross paths with in my life to get me to the point where I am right now. So it was a very sad day. It was a very sad day. But I'm blessed. My son plays lacrosse in Texas, and he'd gotten on Syracuse's radar. So we were coming up for some recruiting trips mm-hmm. and doing some camps. And I actually had an opportunity to visit with Coach McPherson 2 weeks before he passed away.
Wow.
So, you know, what my son was doing afforded me the opportunity to come up to Syracuse and have the blessing to be able to see Mac before he passed away.
Thanks for this, Darryl. I know you've been at a busy day with the production meetings and stuff. I think you're going to have a heck of a game to call.
I really do too. I really do. I think that this is going to be one of those games that a lot of people will look at the matchup and not think a whole lot about it, but I think we got a great game here. We're really excited. Our crew is really excited to be here in Buffalo for this game this weekend.
Have a great broadcast.
Thank you very much, John. Good
Moose,
to see you.
Darryl Johnson in studio with us. He'll be on the Fox call of the game with Chris Myers and Laura Oakman, 1 o'clock on Sunday.